Hello and welcome to Safari Conversations, the Singita podcast. Even though we've been around for 30 years, we're relatively new to podcasting. But we are storytellers by nature and we've got so much to share with you. Alongside our conservation partners, we've been busy exploring and protecting Africa's wilderness. So join us as we unpack inspiring, fun, and sometimes crazy stories where you'll meet our incredible people and learn all about the special places in Africa that we call home. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes.
I'm Adela Stieler van der Westhuizen. I'm the Managing Director at the Pruleith Culinary Institute. We partnered with Singita in 2022 to provide the academic backbone of the Singita Community Culinary School. And it's this phenomenal project that we'll be exploring in today's Safari Conversations podcast. Joining me in this conversation is Andrew Nicholson, the group executive chef at Singita, and he's responsible for all the chefs, the kitchen, and also the direction of food at Singita. And I'm very cheekily going to add here that he's also a Pruleith alumnus, of which I'm very proud. And then the heart of the SECS campus in the Kruger National Park, Nandi Magojo. Nandi is the chef skills developer at Lebombo and Sweeney Lodges, and she is responsible for implementing the programs. I really look forward to having this conversation today, but we got involved as Pruleith not only because we share the same aim as Singita to create culinary excellence in Africa, but also as an institute on this beautiful continent, we are very aware of our impact on the environment. And we aim to create chefs that are in touch with nature and respect ingredients and will also serve biodiversity in our dining rooms. But at the same time, we want them to be connected to their own culture. We want them to reach into their local communities and their heritage and not hesitate to share the continent's abundance on their plates. We believe that chefs should be culinary conservationists. And this has probably been our biggest connection with Singita. Andrew, tell us about the Singita Community Culinary Schools project. When did it start? Why did it start? And take us back right to the origin. It's a small project, but it is as impactful as it gets.
Yeah, it is a small project. And like you said, it is very impactful. It's changed many lives, not just for the graduates that have gone through the school, but also the families that have benefit from it. And again, going back to, like you were saying, with joining Pruleith and being partners with Pruleith is because we want to be the best chef school in Africa. We want to have the furthest reach in Africa, and we want the best qualifications and internationally recognized qualifications for our students and our graduates. We do have the same beliefs, and I think that's why it works so well, being partners with you and Pruleith. Well, the school started back in 2007. We started in Kruger National Park. We started up there, started humble beginnings at our staff village at Shishingan, and it's grown over the years to this incredible building we have in the lodge environment now where the guests can walk in at any time. It's actually incredible. I'm actually quite jealous of the students these days of what they have and their classroom they have. And then from there, we went and opened up in 2015 to Singita Serengeti in Tanzania. And then after that, during COVID in 2021, we opened Singita Volcanoes National Park. We opened a cooking school there. You know, that was some interesting times. We opened that during COVID. Our lodge wasn't even operating. We had no guests coming through, but we managed to open it and get it running in the heart of COVID. And it's just come leaps and bounds, and it's incredible to see how the students have grown. We're also looking to open up next in Zimbabwe, and we also any new lodge we open in the future, we're always going to have a Singita Community Culinary School on site, and our next project will be in Botswana, very exciting. And yeah, we're looking forward to the future and the growth of the SCCS. It's done incredibly well over the years, and I think it's just going to get better and better.
Indeed, and it is a phenomenal project, Andrew. Gives me the warm and fuzzies, but why do it as a safari company?
Well, as part of Singita, we focus on safeguarding unique wilderness areas and wildlife. And with that as well is partnering up with the communities around those areas. And all our lodges are based close to communities, and they form a big part of our staff. And educating the teams and growing the community around it just benefit everyone. So we also want them to thrive economically and socially. So we put a lot of effort into education. It's one of our pillars at Singita, and the SCCS is one part of those things, and it's been extremely successful. There's a big need for education, jobs, and we want to create jobs and futures for these young budding chefs who are – it's actually remarkable. Just getting a bit emotional thinking about it is how – these young chefs come from the community, know nothing about chefing, and become these incredibly talented chefs that actually sometimes scare me. I actually step off the pass because they're intimidating sometimes. They're that good.
And it is indeed a remarkable project, Andrew, and we're talking about the success, but how have you measured it? How has it grown to achieve this wide recognition and incredible results in not only South Africa, but also Tanzania and Rwanda?
Over the years, we've been actually collecting quite a bit of data, just following, because you want to see the success of the school and making sure that it is growing and it is growing the communities. And over the years, we've seen some remarkable figures come through. And one of them is that we've had, over the years, since 2007, 103 graduates that have come through our school and been extremely successful, with 92% of those graduates currently employed as chefs throughout the industry. We also have 25% of those are still employed at Singita and doing extremely well. We've got a few head chefs and sous chefs through the systems on our property and other properties and other partners. We also have 91% of the graduates are all professional chefs, and we have a strong alumni with SC where we keep in contact with them all the time. They update us of their growths and where they're going and what the job's like, so we can give them support throughout the market. And then also one thing that still blows my mind is incredible. In Tanzania, we have 100% of our graduates are still in our six lodges in Tanzania. It's just, it's incredible. And they are thriving. And that's going from pastry to hot kitchen to all parts. They can do it all. Yeah, just something really incredible.
That is indeed incredible. And it's wonderful to look at the success and the statistics. But all of this would not be possible if it is not for someone like Nandi, the Chef Skills Developers, who run the daily classes and implement this program and make sure that these students are, on the end of the day, the success. Nandi, it's not always an easy task. Take us through an average day and the program in general for the students.
The average day for us at the Singita Community Culinary School would be on a theory day where we're starting at 9 o'clock and going for classes up until 1 o'clock, where we will break for lunch. And then from there, we finish off the classes at 4:30 with practical classes. The practical classes usually lean according to the theory class that we would have done. So in that week, we did a theory on meats. Then that following day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, will be practicals that align with the theory. And then usually Saturday, Sunday, and Monday will be for them to go into the kitchens. And we also, in every week, we have a test that we write for each module that they will do. So over a 6-week cycle, a week will look like that. And if we have assignments in there as well, then the students will be given 2 weeks to submit their assignments. So it's quite a jam-packed 6 weeks that we do, but it's fun. It's exciting at times. It's also stressful in the same light.
Talking about stress, Nandi, when you say the students go into the kitchen, we are talking about the lodge kitchen, Chef Andrew's kitchens. They go in there and they're working amongst the seasoned chefs that have all helped to win some amazing awards, for especially the Lebombo and Sweni lodges. How's the pressure and how do the students adapt to that environment?
So at the beginning, they are very scared. They're very scared because, as Chef Andrew mentioned before, is that they come in not knowing anything. And everything that they learn about fine dining, they learn from Singita and what we give them. So at the beginning, they start off very shy. But as they progress into it, with the feedback that I will collect from the chefs after their kitchen blocks and give it back to them, they start growing the confidence to gain more skills in the kitchen. It's also just funny when it when they go towards the end of their qualification and they start nitpicking on the chef's menus and nitpicking on what the chefs do and all, you know, the cooking and the way that the chefs carries themselves. And I was like, no, now you're ready to graduate, and you see that difference from when they initially started towards the end, that they now know what they are doing and they are confident and comfortable in the kitchen.
Now that is the warm and fuzzy. The emotional that you were saying earlier on, Andrew, that is the kind of stuff that makes us feel like we are not just teaching cooking, we are growing human beings. And I think that is the magic of this program for me personally. Nandi, people can also get a very close-up experience of this, because in between those very busy weeks, you also offer something called the cooking class. Tell us about that.
Yes, we do offer cooking classes to guests that would like the opportunity just to interact with the students. Our cooking class funds goes towards the expansion of the school, and it comes at a cost of 3,800 per guest. So it's a bit more relaxed on our side in the sense that it's not formalized or structured process. It's just an addition fun element for the students, which they get to enjoy. So what we do is we find out which guests would like to do a cooking class. Some of them book ahead, some of them will book while at the lodge. And from there, I go back to the students to tell them that we have a cooking class with this so many number of guests that are going to be joining us. These are the dietaries, if there is any dietaries. And then from there, we choose from the 10 South African recipes that we have for cooking classes. We have things like umngqusho, lebombo bobothi. So those are some of the dishes that we have, just to mention a few. And then from there, the students will choose whatever that they want to choose. I try not to guide them in that direction, just give them the dietaries and they'll take it from there for themselves, because it is a fun element. So I want them to enjoy that little break so that they can interact better with the guests. And it also gives the guests an opportunity just to have the students without somebody there, because that can also take away from the whole experience.
I love that this is not only interaction with the students, but that it's celebrating South African cuisine. And I hope that they always choose the Shangaan cabbage, because I know, Andrew, on your traditional menus, also in the restaurant, that's always my favorite. I always keep asking the chef, so what exactly is the difference? Because it is just a little bit more delicious than when I try anything at home.
So they always go for the chakalaka. They're always on top, and they do the umngqusho. And then it depends again. Also, they love to do the cook sisters as well as the fed cook.
Oh, and don't we just love our sweet stuff in South Africa?
Yes,
we gotta have a sweet ending. Of course, local food is also very much part of the sustainability that's at the heart of what both of our organizations do. Nandi, how is this part of the course that you teach the students? How do you bring this into the classroom?
What we've been trying to get off the ground, and it's get the garden going so that they can do. But how we bring this together is that we have a lot of BOMA and cultural events that take place in the Singita lodges, both Sweni and Limbombo, and the students then get that opportunity to get more of the traditional feel during those fields. And we're also doing a lot more of the new African cuisines as well. So that's where we get to experience most of those things. And also within our class as well, for sustainability and likes, we follow a lot of zero waste, use as much as you possibly can in all of those products. And when I drill them in the school, then they would laugh at me, but chef, we don't do that in the kitchen. I'm like, this is what we are practicing here. When they start, I'm like, we can still use this little bit of paper that's left over. They're like, no, but then that's unchoppable. I'm like, definitely that will work. So that's what we're doing, a lot of zero waste.
Yeah, and I love the dishes, the zero waste dishes that we've also implemented as assessments, even in some of the work, to really say to them, you know, like you're saying, it's drilling it in.
Yes.
Which is so, so important. Part of this as well is not just, you've mentioned the new African curriculum, but what other cooking techniques and what are the students sort of learning in terms of unique South African safari skills that they get for that?
We also do a lot of pickling and preserving using South African ingredients. We also do a lot of smoking of meats, a lot of drying using South African ingredients again, as well as spices that are local to South Africa. And we use a lot of also the biltong spices just to try and play around and flavor different ingredients with it and see what comes out from there.
And I just think it's so beautiful that your students conclude their new African cuisine lectures by cooking outdoor in the boma to invited family and guests every year. And, you know, to showcase it's towards the end of the program. So it's when they become that slightly cocky confident. And now the families are coming in and saying, look, Ma, this is what we can do. And they're doing it in South African food and outdoors.
Yes, that is a lovely experiment, but it also just gets a challenge for them because then they have this knowledge of fine dining. And then you just to try to remind them that, yes, we are incorporating fine dining with the boma experience. Again, like you're saying, that they get cocky. And then when you try to tell them that this is a bit more fine dining, let's do it a bit more African, they'll be like, no, but my parents are coming in, we should do it like this. We're like, guys, remember, it's an assignment. It's an African assignment. So we need to bring that to the forefront. So we get a lot of things. They go into your mealie bread. And the fun thing about that is that they also incorporate also some elements from within the African regions. We'll find things like your mandazis on the students' menus, ugalis. If they're not using the actual dishes, then they're spicing or flavoring with elements from Africa.
Oh, I love that, eating the entire region. We've got such amazing flavors on this continent.
They're beautiful.
And I think that is one of the things that has been wonderful in this project, is to not just, you know, do the wonderful and grow the humans, but also help to grow our African cuisine on the continent.
Definitely, definitely. And it's always an eye-opener for them. It was also an eye-opener for me when I started with it as well. But as we've been progressing with the guidance of Chef as well, it's just been so amazing and fulfilling. And just to learn about the African cuisine and all of its elements, it's students that didn't know anything at the beginning, and, you know, just to broaden their minds. And, you know, if they want to cook into Africa, they will have that skill set of knowing what is what African cuisine in each region, instead of the culinary classics that we start them off with.
Our patron at Prue, Dame Prue, I have to say, is more British than South African nowadays, perhaps. But this project is the one thing that she is incredibly excited about, is highlighting our African cuisine and showcasing our continent on the plates.
Oh, I've got to be just say I've been lucky enough and blessed enough to actually have gone to Prue Culinary Institute, and you were my lecturer back then as well, and taught me what I know now. So if there's anything that's wrong, it's your fault.
oh, goodness.
Yeah, so yeah, lucky enough to have a strong connection with Prue Leith. And could you tell us a bit about Dame Prue Leith? As you're saying now, she's had an incredible career. She's a South African born. She's gone on to do huge things in the industry. And she's a big advocate for food standards and education. And well, just being that we're lucky enough to have Prue Leith Culinary Institute in South Africa. Could you give a bit more understanding or background to that?
Yes. So Prue, as you've mentioned, South African born, left the country in her early 20s with a short stint in France when she realized that her direction is food. And then she hopped over the channel and opened a phenomenal, phenomenal food enterprise, really, in the UK. She started with a restaurant. Later on, it became a whole catering empire. She opened the Leith School of Cooking. She ventured into food writing later on, but only once she started, the cookbook started earlier on as well. But once she sold the business in 1993, at that stage employing, I think, over 500 people, it really was quite a bit of a catering empire and a wonderful reputation that Prue had. And so once she sold the business, Chairman Tiny Barnetson approached Prue and said that they were looking for someone who can assist them to set up a school and really create not just chefs, but top chefs for Africa. They were all a group of hoteliers and hospitality property owners who were getting fed up with importing the executive chefs. And they said, clearly, we have to start growing our own. You know, there's certain things that we want for Africa, and it's only going to come from Africa. And they knew how to eat well. They knew how to dine well, how to, you know, run those businesses. They knew nothing about cooking. And they knew that they had to find a quality brand to help them with this. And that's how they reached out to Prue. And she still tells the story that Tiny sent her a fax in those days saying, we don't need your money, but we do need your help. And she was so delighted to be involved with a project back in South Africa that she is so passionate about. And to this day, it's still the only business outside of the UK that she's allowed to use her name. And so Prue was on board immediately. You know, just throughout her career, she has achieved so much. She's done so much that, you know, whether it was her early catering and restaurants that also had a Michelin star or her school, she was very involved at, like we said, the education. But she's also a very strong businesswoman and has even won the Veuve Clicquot Businesswoman of the Year Award. And as we've mentioned, been honored by the Queen first with the OBE and then a CBE. And then, of course, later in 2021, Dame Prue Leith. She also visited the SCCS in the Kruger Park in January 2023. And Nandi, you were there. You'll remember it. And it absolutely exceeded her expectations. You know, she knew we would never get involved in a project that won't make us all incredibly proud. But the impact of it really impressed her. And what was very special to me specifically was to watch her interact with the students. Nandi, you'll remember they were so nervous in the beginning, knowing that they were about to meet the woman whose name they carried on their chef's jackets. But I think once she was there and sort of sticking her nose into their bubbling pots, they were all and chatting just alongside them, you know, sort of a chef amongst them. They all realized that, you know, she might be a dame, but she's also just a chef. And they were all happy to open up, to share their journey and to tell them what she was cooking. And yeah, I thought it was a very special morning. Nandi, what do you remember?
No, it was indeed a special morning. And they were so, so stressed in the weeks leading up to the actual day, because it was just... And they went and they were Googling and they were just following up and checking who's this this esteemed person that's coming to visit them. I even know that one of the students even had a list of questions that she wanted to ask in fear of not forgetting anything, you know, and all of them were wanting to take photographs just so that they have the evidence that they've met the dame, and they were chatting with her. And as the day progressed, the nerves went down and they were all fine and cooking along almost like as they would for a cooking class. And yeah, they were excited. I think they were more excited about taking the photographs and meeting the dame fully to go and show that they've made somebody as famous as the dame.
Yeah, that was quite fun, I have to say. Yeah, lots of photographs, I remember. Andrew, this exposure is quite important because there is such a great need in Africa and the resources are so limited. How is the SECS program funded and who pays for the students?
Well, that is quite interesting. It's quite a few little different avenues how it's funded. And the thing about it is it's so important, this cooking school, because it's not just looking after six students, say, at Kruger National Park. Those six students, as I mentioned earlier, those lives impact multiple lives after that. It could be 2 to 5 people in a household. And so giving them this education, giving them this opportunity to better themselves and grow and get jobs actually impacts multiple lives and finances in the communities. So we do get a funding through different ways. We get it through sponsorship, through our guests when they come through. As Nandi mentioned earlier, we have the cooking classes, so that's one way we get some funding. We also do get sponsorships from some of our guests, which is incredible to see what we've got over the years. And we get some guests that come every year and give us a donation for students. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's two, even three. It is mind-blowing. And it costs for one student for a year is $12,500 all inclusive. So that gets us the tuition, the equipment, uniforms, accommodation. Just for on accommodation, for instance, our students all stay on site. So the reason we do that is that they can be part of the Singida community. It's a safe environment for them to live in. They get 3 meals a day. They get their laundry cleaned. They have a bus. We have a staff village, and they catch the bus in Kruger to class. Like Nandi says, they leave at 4. And the reason they leave at 4 is because they must get on a bus back to the staff village, which is fully kitted with a – they've got swimming pools, pool tables, gym. So it really does change their lives because they stay in a safe place at Singida. When they're at the Singida Community Culinary School, it is a safe space. It's a place where they can study, they can focus on their education and not worry about the stuff from the outside world. The great thing about that, also part of that $12,500 that's donated, it goes towards, they get a little stipend every month. So they also get a little salary, which goes a long way for some of these students who have nothing at home and actually didn't have an income before this. So it's just starting off their life and it only gets better from there. We also do, Singida itself also donates towards paying for our students, and they also pay the stipend and pay for the $12,500 per student as well when we if we don't get enough donations. It is something incredible that the combination between Singida and our guests putting money towards these students and their futures. We do also, if anyone ever wants to donate, you can go online, you go on our website, and there's quite an easy link that our guests all staff or anyone can put a little bit towards the students' success in their futures.
I was just amazed in the beginning to learn about the comprehensive support that Singida gives the students. You know, we touch here and there on different projects as an institute, but, you know, the way that you are really looking after them, I want to say mind, body and soul almost in this project. You know, there's absolutely every opportunity is afforded them to be successful in this program. And that, I think, is also part of the success. You know, it is one thing to give students a bursary. It's something else to give them the support to succeed. And I think that is the one thing that Singida does very well, and that's very special in this project. Nandi, where does the journey start? Where do the students come from, and how does this process start?
So the students come from the neighboring villages. So we are currently affiliated with 3 trusts, which is the Mnisi, Amashangani, and recently we've just brought in the Jongelanga Trust over at the Sabi Sands. These trusts work with the Singida Lowveld Trust, which is a non-profit organization, and it runs the 4 core branches that we have, which is the Singida Community Culinary School at the Singida Libombo and Sweni, as well as the Rhino Dehorning Project at Singida Libombo and Sweni in the Kruger National Park. And then we will have the K9 unit, as well as the Early Childhood Development Centers in the Justicia Sabi Sands area. These students will then come from these communities under these trusts. We will go through interview processes where a team from the Singida Lowveld Trust, as well as the head of departments in the Libombo and Sweni lodges, will go out for a day, and we will do a panel interviews with these young hopefuls, a whole day experience. They are very scared, but eventually they get it right. And then we come back, we debrief with the Singida Lowveld Trust team, as well as the heads of departments. And then we narrow it down to say 40, 50 hopefuls, which will then come back in for a cook-off. And from that cook-off, then we have to do the daunting task of choosing 6 students.
Oh, you say narrow it down to 40 or 50. How many applications do you get?
So usually we have between 400 to 600 applications each year.
Wow. 500 down to 6.
Yes. It's not an easy task.
I can imagine. I'm glad that I'm not in your shoes.
No, it's not an easy task, because you're thinking who deserves it and who doesn't deserve it. And, you know, it's just, it's also quite an emotional thing to do as well, because all these students have so much potential and they come in there wanting this. So it's a bit difficult.
Of course, in part of this project, the success of women have also been very important and very significant at Singida. How has the SECS contributed to female empowerment, Andrew, in the rural areas? And what specific initiatives are in place to support women pursuing careers in chefing and hospitality?
I'm very glad you asked that one, because it's something I've noticed over the years. And I've seen a lot of our graduates that really succeed are the women. And I think it's down to, in the communities, the women are, I would say, the heart, the base, the, like, the foundation. They I think, grow up a little earlier in life. They take on more responsibilities as they look after siblings. They look after nephews. And they generally stay home and look and become the adults. They look after the cooking. They look after the household day-to-day running, which I think makes them a bit more mature and also driven. It's incredible to see the powerful and strong-minded women that are coming through the SCCS. And they are going on to do huge things. We've got, for example, Joanna. We've got Imbali. We've got Zuni. Just to name a few of these are some of the chefs you can find at Kruger National Park in our kitchens who are leading the kitchens. They do everything. They are extremely talented. And I can still remember Zuni on the pass when she first started. I remember I started Singita and she had just graduated from the SCCS. And she was on the pass. She's got a full camp doing breakfast for 30 plus people. And I just remember looking and saying, Zuni, are you right? And she just looks through the salamander and just smiles. Yes, chef, all good. But this tiny little girl. And she's just blowing my mind. And then I put some sous chefs on the same position the next day and they couldn't do it. It's just incredible to see the talent. And she's gone on to become our senior sous chef who runs Sweeney. And she does incredible stuff. And you could go on for days talking about success you've got in Bali. We had TK in the past. They are incredible. And they just every day and every year, they just come out and they just show you. They step up and they show what incredible humans they are and what great talent they are and great leaders. And I think it's going to be a good future for us. We're going to see some incredible stuff and great chef leaders in the future.
I am very confident that we are indeed going to create those culinary conservationists going forward as well. It has been marvelous discussing this project with you, Nandi and Andrew. It really is a project that's so close to all of our hearts. And, you know, I talk about the warm and fuzzies, but I am not lying when I say I get goosebumps under the table here because there are just so many heartwarming stories. You know, the success of this program, the impact is just phenomenal. And I think that that is probably the, you know, obviously the greatest success of this project. But it is something that I think makes us all feel incredibly proud. And contributing to this is probably one of the most worthwhile causes that anyone can contribute to this. You can see more details on the Singita website under conservation and community projects, www.singita.com. And thank you very much to our audience for joining us.
Thank you for listening. If you want to follow other episodes of our podcast series, Safari Conversations, please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from or on our website at singita.com.